Thursday, 14th of March, 2024. Maybe today. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. Acts 25, 25. The words are better translated as, "And I, finding nothing he was done worthy of death, and he also himself having appealed to Augustus, I judged to send him." CG. Festus has just explained to Agrippa that the whole assembly of the Jews was in a snit over Paul, and that they had petitioned him, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. However, Festus continues saying, "And I, finding nothing he has done worthy of death." Depending on the source text, the verb is either a present or an aorist participle. Either way, the statement should be considered as an emphatic one, as Festus's trial found the accuser's case lacking. Their argument failed to sustain their charges. However, a monkey wrench was tossed into the situation, complicating things. Festus next tells Agrippa, "And he also, himself, having appealed to Augustus." As Paul had appealed to Augustus, Festus had to include a full report concerning the appeal that he made. It would make no sense for a prisoner to appeal something, claiming he was innocent, and yet he was then sent by Festus to Caesar, without citing what evidence he had to support the claim. However, Paul's appeal was made because of where the location of the trial would be, meaning Caesarea, not Jerusalem. When Jerusalem was suggested, the appeal was made. This caused a certain amount of difficulty concerning what to report. As such, and as Festus was not schooled in such matters concerning Jewish life, he sought King Agrippa's assistance in the matter. This will be revealed in the next verses. For now, and because Paul had every right to appeal to Caesar, Festus next says, "I judged to send him." His judgment was actually exactly what had to take place. Paul, as a Roman, could not be denied his right to appeal, especially when it involved the matter of jurisdiction. Once the matter of moving the trial to Jerusalem was raised, it opened up the path to Caesar's judgment seat. Life application. As just noted, there is a difference in the tense of the first verb of the verse being evaluated. There are also a few other small differences in the Greek texts. They really don't change the intent of what is said in any grand way, but it is still good to know what is different and to try to determine how such things may have occurred. Note the difference in that first verb. Katelebomen, katelebomenos. Imagine reading a paper and seeing, "I have risen to tell you about Jesus." However, another paper about the same town hall meeting says, "I have arisen to tell you about Jesus." That is a small difference, and the meaning is essentially unchanged. But you want to know how that change came about. Studying the reason for scribal errors is an immense field. This is because there are innumerable texts to be referred to. They are also incomplete at times. Different handwriting styles, splotches, degradation of the document, and so forth can all make it difficult to know exactly what has been written. Further, scribes are just people. They get tired, they get distracted, and so forth. Errors such as haplography, dittography, transposition, etc. can affect a text. Margin notes concerning texts may creep into the text itself by the error of the next scribe. Watching videos or reading books about textual criticism can help you to understand what is going on and why. Too often people take a faulty stand on such things, claiming that those who read one version or another are doing the devil's bidding by reading a compromised translation. But those same people fail to understand that there are variations even in their own translation. For example, the KJV is not a single translation without variation. There is the original 1611 edition, which is almost impossible for a modern reader to understand. John 3:16 alone will give you a headache. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have a everlasting life." There is a Cambridge edition and an Oxford edition. There are innumerable changes between them. But more, if you decide on the Cambridge, there are variations in it. There are differences in the 1629, 1638, 1760, 1873, 1900, etc. editions. If there is this much variation in a translation, imagine how much variation exists because of scribal errors in thousands of Greek texts. Critical scholars of manuscripts should not be excoriated. They should be applauded for the tedious and thankless work they carry out to bring us the most accurate text possible. God has, through the multitude of biblical texts available, ensured that we have His Word. Our job is to study and show ourselves approved concerning this invaluable gift that He has safely maintained throughout the ages for His people to read and cherish. Praise God for His superior Word. Lord God, we know that the contents of Scripture are a faithful and reliable testimony to what You have done and are doing in the stream of human existence. Thank You for those people who faithfully keep and maintain this Word, doing their best to present it to us in an understandable way so that we can know You better with each page we turn. Amen.
When I judged him, I could find nothing wrong. I found no reason to order his death, but he asked to be judged by Caesar, so I decided to send him.
Acts 25, verse 25.